Just so good to be here this morning. Just the worship was incredible. You know, I just really felt the spirit and the joy of our God here today. And I just believe with all my heart that as we open our hearts to Him, He is going to fill us again. Let's be expectant today. Let's be expectant of great things from our great God. You know, I like what it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says that He who began a good work in you will complete it until Jesus Christ returns. And you know what today is? Today is part of that completion. Today is part of that completion. And what does Jesus say to us? The same as He says in Matthew chapter 11. He says this, "Come unto me. Come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And as we're going to talk about this morning, as we come to Jesus, He will complete His work in our lives. He will speak to us the truth. He will enable us. And that is what we're going to believe for today. God's deeper work of completion. Thank you, Jesus. Just before I start, I just want to make a quick announcement. On Saturday, April 16th, Hillary and I are going to be hosting an event in Brampton called Stepping into Freedom. It is a one-day event, and what we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing teaching and ministry. And we just really believe that all of the things in your life that have been holding you back, that Jesus Christ is going to come and bring an incredible level of freedom. And if you want to come to this, it's limited. It's about 70% full already, so if you want to come, then see me after the service. I'll give you a brochure. I have a sign-up sheet with me today, and I'll take your name and your email and your phone number, because pre-registration is required. The event is free, but pre-registration is required because we have limited space. So if you want to come to that, see me after the service, and I'll sign you up. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we are excited because we are in your presence. Father, we thank you that in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, heaven has come to earth. We thank you, God, that you brought your kingdom to earth again, that your will is being accomplished in our lives. We thank you, Father, for your incredible love. We thank you that your word says that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. And so, Lord, we choose today to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Father, we ask that as we hear from your word, that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds. Lord, that you would bring incredible revelation from your word this day. Lord, Jesus said in John chapter 8 that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And so, Father, we are going to believe today that by the power of your word, that by the power of your spirit, that by your all-consuming love, that you are going to meet us today. And so, Father, we ask for faith, faith to believe, faith to respond, and faith to receive everything that you want to impart in our lives today. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. I want to talk this morning from the life of Peter. And what we're going to talk about is the power of believing truth. The power of overcoming the earthly limitations that people have placed upon us. And that we will walk into more fully this day into the identity and destiny that the Lord Jesus Christ has for each and every one of us. You know, we first meet Peter in Luke chapter 5. And there Jesus is preaching by the sea. He's preaching to multitudes, so much so that they're backing him up to the sea. And it says that he looks and he sees two boats. And one of the boats belongs to a man named Simon, because that was Peter's name at the time, Simon. And he turns to Simon and he says, "Simon, let's go out." You know, and Simon had been fishing all night. He's tired. He's caught nothing. But he says to Jesus, because it's you, Lord, I will go. And so Jesus steps into his boat, and as the boat is going out from the shore, he's preaching to the crowds. And then he turns to Simon and says, Simon, let's go fishing. And Simon says, Lord, remember, we caught nothing. And he says, let's take the boat out into the deep water and cast the nets. And so Peter, by faith, takes his nets, casts them into the sea, and it says that he caught the greatest number of fish he had ever caught. His nets were breaking. And what did Peter realize? Peter realized that a miracle had taken place. And so it says he falls on his knees and he says, get away from me, Lord. Get away from me because I'm a sinful man. And then Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Peter, come and follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was calling Peter to himself. And when Jesus called Peter into this life-giving relationship, what was the very first thing he did? What was the first thing that Jesus began to do in the life of Peter? He began to tell Peter who he really is. Peter, you're a fisher of men. Peter, you grew up believing that all you could do is catch fish. The world, Peter, and I'm extrapolating here, but the world, Peter, has told you who you are. The world has defined you. The world has limited you, Peter, but what you're going to discover is that in relationship with me, you will become the man who God has created you to be. And so I want to ask you a question this morning. Who are you? Who are you? What does God say about you? What is God's message? Because the world has been speaking to you a message from the very day you were born. Your parents began to speak to you messages. And then your teachers and your friends and your coworkers and the television and the internet and on and on and on it goes. And what is the enemy trying to do through these messages? Some good, some bad. But you know what he's trying to do? He is trying to form within you an identity that he wants you to see yourself, please hear me, to see yourself through the eyes of the flesh. The world limits you. And what you start hearing in very subtle ways are things like, you're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not good looking. You're the good looking one. You're the not good looking one. And we get classified and we get limited and we get herded into a certain stream in life. That's what happened to Peter. Until the day that Jesus stepped into the boat of his life. And as soon as Jesus stepped into his boat, his life changed instantly. Because Jesus did two things. The very first thing Jesus did was he called him to himself. And he said, Simon, as you follow me, as you come out of the old and into the new, in relationship with me, Simon, you will discover who you really are. You will hear the messages of God. And that is what Jesus Christ says to each and every one of us this day. So I ask you, who are you? What is God's message about you? What does God say about your life? What does the Lord Jesus Christ say about what you can do and what you can't do? I believe today with all my heart that God is going to change mindsets. That God is going to change the way you think about yourself, the way you feel about yourself, what you think you can do and what you think you can't do, because he comes to us today, and you know what he does? He says, come and follow me. Come into relationship with me, and you will discover who you really are. And so as we go on into the life of Peter, in Matthew chapter 14, there he is Jesus is with his disciples, and he sends them off ahead in a boat. And it gets dark, and the waves begin to toss them. And then they see this man standing beside the boat. And what do they yell out? It's a ghost. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says to them, fear not. It's me. And what's Jesus doing? Jesus is standing on the water beside the boat. And what does Simon say to him? He says, Lord, if it's really you, call me to yourself. And what does Jesus say? One word, come. The same, isn't it? Come to me, Peter. Step out of that boat and step onto the water. And as he gets up, he steps out of the boat, and there he is, standing on water, face to face with Jesus. What was Jesus teaching Peter? That in relationship with me, all things are possible. You see, Peter, you thought it was impossible for you to walk on water. And in your power it is. But in relationship with me, you will do things way beyond your human ability. I mean, isn't that Christianity? When did we bring Christianity down from heaven to the earth? You see, when did Christianity get so grounded in human ability? Christianity, at its very core, is what God can do in you and through you for his glory. You see, that's what Peter was learning. There he is, standing on the water because Jesus called him to himself. He was learning that human limitations do not apply in the kingdom of God. And so I want to ask you again, who are you? What does God say about you? What is God's vision of your life? Have you ever thought about that? What are the thoughts that the Lord Jesus Christ has about you right now? That's what he wants to communicate to you. And that is why he has called you to himself. And that is why every day of our lives, Jesus Christ calls us to himself. He says, come to me. Come to me, and I will tell you who you really are. Come to me, and the limitations that this world has placed upon you will cease to exist in my kingdom. Right now, if Jesus called you to walk on water, you could do it. You can do what is impossible for you in relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, that's what Peter was learning. What was Jesus trying to do? He wanted to strip Peter of all of the thoughts of man, of all of the thoughts of human limitations. So when Peter was standing there and Jesus looks at the tomb of Lazarus and says, come forth. And then this man comes forth in grave clothes, risen from the dead. What was Jesus teaching his disciples? He was saying, my kingdom operates on different principles. What just happened was impossible. It's impossible for you to walk on water, Peter. He was changing the way Peter was thinking about himself. And then we go a little bit further ahead, Matthew chapter 16. What does Jesus say to his disciples? He says, who do people say that I am? And they say, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And what does Jesus say? Who do you say that I am? And then Simon looks at Jesus and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus looks at him and he says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Simon Barjona, but my Father who is in heaven. And then he says something astonishing. He says, no longer will I call you Simon, but I will call you Peter, because upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see, in Greek, Peter, Petros, means rock. And so Jesus was saying to Simon, Simon, guess what? You're a rock. You're a leader. You're a strong man. Peter, I see you as someone upon whom I can build my church. Not only that, Peter, but I give you the keys to my kingdom. I give you authority that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You're a leader, Peter. You're a rock, Peter. You have authority, Peter. You're a fisher of men, Peter. You can walk on water, Peter, all in relationship with me. You see, what was Jesus saying to him? This is who you really are. What's Peter thinking? Wow. Can it be true? Is this who God created me to be? Is this my true identity? Who are you? How does God see you? What are the words of heaven today for you? What are the earthly limitations, the ungodly thoughts, the mindsets, everything that you are struggling with that Jesus Christ wants to come and shatter? So that the true you, created in the image of God, born again through a relationship with Jesus Christ, can truly emerge. This morning, I am looking at people who are supernatural. I am looking at people who have been born again into a new kingdom through relationship with Jesus Christ. You, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. What does God say about you? And so let's go a little bit further ahead in Peter's life. There he is now with the other disciples, having a last meal with Jesus. And Jesus is teaching him wonderful things about serving. And then he says something very shocking. He says this, tonight, on account of me, you will all fall away. And Peter looks at Jesus and he says, Jesus, though the others deny you, I never will. And then Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Peter, you won't just deny me once, but tonight, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And they go to the garden. They come, they arrest Jesus, they take him to trial, and all of the disciples scatter. And then we find Peter in the courtyard. And three times people come up to him and say, you were a follower of Jesus. And three times he denies it. And the last time was to a little servant girl who asked him, and it says that he began to call down curses upon himself and swear that he did not know Jesus. And what did he hear? He heard a rooster crowing. Dawn had come. And when it says that when Peter heard that he ran out of the temple weeping and in agony. It's like his life was falling through his fingers, everything that Jesus had said about him. The life that Jesus had promised him was gone. It was dying. He had just denied his best friend. And you know what the enemy was doing? As he was running out of the temple weeping, at the darkest moment of his life, in his sin, in his failure, in his pain, do you know what the enemy was doing? The enemy was running right alongside of him and saying this, I told you. You're not a fisher of men. You're weak, Peter. You're not a rock. You have no authority. It's over for you. Everything that Jesus ever said about you is done. It's finished. It was all a lie, Peter. Just a fantasy concocted in your mind. This Peter is who you really are. This is your real life. And you know what? Peter believed him. Peter believed it. And I'm going to talk about John chapter 21 next, where Peter goes back fishing. That's how I know he believed the lie of the enemy. What about you today? What's happened in your life? If you look back in your life, how has the enemy come to your life to rob you of the very life that Jesus Christ wants you to live? John 10, verse 10 says this, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You see, he comes to rob you of what? Of God's plan for your life. Of what Jesus Christ says about you. And you know what God is waiting for? God is waiting for someone today to stand up and say, I believe God. I believe what God says about me. In spite of everything that has ever happened to me, and no matter what other people have said about me, no matter my sins, my failures, my woundings, no matter what, I believe what God says. Because the word of the Lord never dies. Do you know that the intentions of the Father for you, even before you were born, have never changed? There is a word that was spoken over you before all of eternity, and you know what? It has arrived here again today. It is the eternal, unending, undying will of God for your life. It is God's sovereign plan that cannot be shaken, that cannot be destroyed. And God wants us today to stand up and say, I believe God. Let's think about Abraham for a moment. How old was Abraham when God first met him? 75 years old. Do you know, before God showed up on the scene, Abraham was a pagan moon worshiper. And so at 75 years old, God shows up and he says to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. I'm going to start over through you. And your descendants are going to be like the stars of the sky and the sand that is on the seashore. And all you have to do, Abraham, please hear me. All you have to do, Abraham, is believe what I am going to tell you. I want you to get up. And you're going to go to a land that I'm going to give you. And your descendants are going to be in the millions, Abraham. And I'm going to bless you, and through you, Abraham, please hear me. Through you, Abraham, I am going to bless every nation in the world. And all you have to do, Abraham, is one thing. You have to believe me. Please hear this. Your whole life is going to come down to the answer of one question. And you know what that is? The question is this: who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what the enemy says to you through the world? Are you going to allow other people to define your life? Are you going to allow your life to be defined by the supposed limitations of who you are? Or are you going to allow God to tell you who you are and to believe it? There are three things we need to do every time we hear the word of God, whether through this word or whether through the Spirit of God that's within us. There are three things we need to do every time we hear it, and you know what they are? The first is what? Believe it. And when you believed it, what's the second thing you need? To respond. To respond to it. Like Abraham, what did God say? Get up. I just spoke to you the truth. Get up. Come on, man. You're 75. That's okay. Get up. And Abraham just had to start walking in it, didn't he? Just go. I will show you. And what's the third thing? There's belief. There's response. The third thing is that we receive what God is giving us through the truth. That's what Abraham did. But what did Abraham say to God? God, there's only one problem. One problem. I don't want to, you know, disturb you or anything. But I don't have a son. And you said you're going to give me descendants like the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. But God, I can't even have one. If I can't have one, how am I going to have millions? And God said, I will give you a son. And of course, time goes by. 10 years, I'm now 85. And what did his wife say? It's been a long time, Abraham. Let's help God. I'm not getting any younger here. Why don't you have a child with our maidservant, and we'll call that child the promised child of God. And through this child, God can make you great. And so they have Ishmael, and what does God say? God says, I love Ishmael. I'll bless Ishmael. But Ishmael is not the child through whom I'm going to bless the nations. And time goes by. How old was Abraham when he had his first son? Can I hear 100? And Sarah, the young age of 90. They have their first child at 190, respectively. Do you know what that says to me? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing can stop the sovereign plan of God. Do you know that there is no power on earth that can stop God's plan for your life? Do you know, please hear me, there is no other person in your life who can stop God's plan for you. If you're sitting here today and you are married to a non-Christian, I want to tell you, that can't stop God's plan for your life. If you're sitting here today and your children have been wandering from the Lord, that can't stop God's plan for your life. If you're sitting here today and you tell me, Scott, I'm infirmed. My body is sick. I can't serve God. It's the lie of the enemy, isn't it? No matter what your health is like today, it can't stop God's plan for your life. I don't care what's happened in your past. If you've been abused, if you've been wounded and hurt and you're afraid and you're confused and you're depressed, all of those things, none of them have the power in and of themselves to stop God's sovereign plan for your life. And what do we learn from Abraham? Age cannot stop God's plan for your life. No one in this room is 100. Listen to me. God's plan started in Abraham's life at the age of 75. I don't care how much of your life is behind you or how much of your life is ahead of you. You, from this day on, can live the life that Jesus Christ created you to live. Age cannot stop you. It can start now. Because do you know what God is waiting for? God is waiting for a person today who is going to stand up and say, I believe God. I believe what God says about me. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what my life speaks to me. Because the enemy will use your life, won't he? You can't do it. You're sick. You can't do it. You were wounded. Your spouse isn't saved. You're old. You have no energy. You can't do it. Lies, lies, lies. Because you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You can walk on water. You can do the impossible. Why? Please hear me. Human limitations do not dictate the kingdom of God. But they can sure hold you back. What is the singular power that allows the limitations, the perceptions of yourself to hold you back? What is it? Unbelief. Unbelief is the greatest thief you will ever face in your life. Abraham chose to believe God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He didn't care he was too old. He didn't care about any of it because God spoke it. And God's word has power. There is no power on earth. There is no other person in this world who can stop God's sovereign plan for your life except you. You are the only person, the only power on earth that can stop God's will for your life. Now, that's good news and bad news. The good news is that it's within your sphere, isn't it? In other words, another person can't stand up and say, I'm going to prevent God's will in your life. Because they can't do it if you choose to believe God. And why is that? Because God will make a way where there is no way. God will make a way. If God has to do a miracle, he'll do a miracle. If God has to open a door, he'll open a door. But it will begin every day of your life as you do what? Respond to the call of Jesus when he says to you again, come to me. Come to me. Bring it all to me. Lay it down in my presence. And now, hear what I say to you. And then your response to that will become your destiny. And so here's Peter running out of the courtyard. The enemy was taking from him what? The seeds of belief, wasn't he? You see, Peter, and the enemy says to all of us in our moments of weakness, doesn't he? This is who you really are. Forget the messages you've heard at the church, the books you've read, all of those other things. Forget those encouraging times, because this, Scott Dalton, is what you're really like. Why don't you give up? Why don't you stop believing these fanciful thoughts? And so Peter, in response now to unbelief, because of his pain, you see, his pain, his failure, and his sin spoke very loudly to him. They became a mirror that he was looking in and seeing this false reflection again. And now in John chapter 21, where does he go? He goes back to his old life. Because you see, the power of his new belief, the power of his unbelief, drives him back to his old identity, exactly where the enemy wants him to be. And there they are fishing again with some of the other disciple buddies. Peter's out there. Of course, he's catching nothing. And Jesus on the shore comes and he asks them the question, "Are you catching anything?" And they say, "No." So what does Jesus say? "Well, why don't you throw the nets on the other side of the boat?" I can just hear Peter thinking, deja vu. This has happened to me before. And so he takes his nets, he casts them on the other side, and again, he catches the greatest haul of fish. It says his nets are bursting, his boat is full, they have to call another boat over, it's full. And then John looks to the shore, and he says, "Peter, Peter, it's the Lord. It's the Lord, Peter." And Peter, in his excitement, grabs his outer garment, dives into the sea, swims to the shore, and comes face to face with Jesus, the man he betrayed three times. And what does Jesus say? Jesus doesn't condemn him, does he? Jesus says, "Peter, I've made a fire. Why don't you take some of the fish that you've caught, and you and the disciples come and have a meal with me?" And so they do, and they're sitting around the fire, and then partway through the meal, what does Jesus say? "Peter, do you love me?" And I think Peter's heart leapt, because he thought, "I'm glad you asked. Because I do, Jesus, I love you." And what does Jesus say? "Feed my sheep." A second time, Jesus asks him the same question, and Peter responds and says, "I love you, Jesus." And he says to Peter, "Tend to my lambs, Peter." And then a third time, at a deeper level, Jesus asks Peter, "Do you really love me, Peter?" And it says that Peter was a bit disturbed by this, because twice he's already answered the question. But he says, "Lord, you know that I do." And then a third time, Jesus says, "Feed my sheep, Peter." Why three times? I think we know, right? Because for every time that Peter denied Jesus in the courtyard, Jesus was restoring him. Jesus was forgiving him. Do you know what Jesus was saying to Peter? "Peter, the deal is still on. I still see you the same way. Your sin, your denial, your unbelief, your fear, the lies of the enemy, none of it, Peter, can disqualify you. None of it, Peter, can disqualify you. Peter, you're still the rock. You're still the fisher of men. You're still the leader. You still have authority. I haven't taken the keys back. Peter, I see you the same way I have always seen you, in spite of yourself." Why? Why? Because the word of the Lord never changes. Because the will of God cannot die, can it? Is God a man that he should change his mind? The eternal, living, sovereign will and purpose of God for your life is alive today. And you know what God is waiting? What's he waiting for? He's waiting for someone to stand up and say, I believe God. In spite of everything I'm feeling and thinking, in spite of the circumstances I'm looking at, in spite of the limitations that I perceive are upon my life, I today choose to believe how God sees me, what he says about me, what his intentions for me are. And that is the place that Jesus was calling Peter back to, wasn't he? In a sense, what was Jesus saying to Peter? Come out of the lies. Come out of the lies that the enemy spoke to you in your moment of pain and failure and weakness. And Peter, believe who you are. Respond to it by feeding my sheep. In other words, live who you are, Peter. And you're going to receive, Peter. Because I'm sending you and all the disciples into the upper room to wait. To wait for the gift that I'm going to give you that will enable you to do the things that I've called you to do. You believe it now, Peter. You're responding to it, Peter. There's the anticipation of faith, but the only thing that's left is to get rid of those fleshly limitations. The only thing that's left now, Peter, is to be filled with the power of the living God, the enabler. And so there they were in the upper room, 120 of them waiting. And all of a sudden it says, like tongues of fire landed upon each one of them. They began to speak in an unknown language. And then something extraordinary happened. Peter got up, went outside, and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to thousands without fear and without shame. And that day it says that 3,000 people came into the kingdom. Now that's a good meeting. But wait a minute. I could see that little servant girl standing in the crowd whom Peter denied Jesus to. I could see her saying, is that Peter? Looks like Peter. Sounds like Peter. Smells like Peter. That is Peter. Wait a minute. Peter's a weakling. Peter's filled with fear. Peter can't speak. Peter can't do anything he's doing right now. This isn't the Peter I know. But it was a Peter who chose to believe what God said about him. This was a Peter who responded to the eternal, unending, sovereign plan of God for his life, in spite of the obstacles. And this was a Peter who only moments ago was filled with the power of the kingdom of God. Are you willing today to see your life through the eyes of God? Are you willing today to say, I believe what God says about me, and I'm going to respond to it? Are you willing today to say, yes, I do have earthly limitations, but I believe that through the power of God, I can do everything he has called me to do. And the only great thief is belief. The only great thief is the answer to this question: who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the enemy and go down his course? Or today, are you going to be the person who stands up and says, I believe God? And then respond to his call every day to come to him and enable him to do in you and through you his eternal sovereign plan. Who are you? What does God say about you? That's the message that he wants you to hear and believe today in a fresh new way. That's good news, isn't it? It's the word of the Lord to us today. And so I'm going to ask you to do three things now that you've heard the word of the Lord. What are they? Believe, respond, and receive. Every time you read or hear the word of the living God, if you do those three things in response to it, your life will change forever. Do you want that today? Because this is what the Lord has for you. Can we stand together? Let's focus upon the Lord now. Let's focus upon the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask you to come now. You know, it says in Hebrews to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. How do we fix our eyes on Jesus? We do it first by thinking about him, by allowing the thoughts of our mind and our heart to dwell upon his greatness and his goodness. Just do that now. Because as we dwell upon Jesus, he will lift you out of the limitations and circumstances of your life. And what I'm going to call you to do today, I'm going to call you to do the three things that we talked about. And first, I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me. And in this prayer, we are going to give to God all of those things that we believe falsely are holding us back. Whether it be a relationship, whether it be a shortage of finances, whether it's a health issue, an emotional issue, a mental issue, whatever it is, we're going to give it to Jesus today. And we're going to ask him to speak to us the truth. And then what I'm going to ask you to do then, by faith, is to respond. Because I want to have an opportunity to pray for people that are here. And I believe today that by our faith, a response to our faith, there will be an impartation. There will be two impartations today. One is an impartation of his eternal word that will go into our heart and begin to shatter this false identity that we live with. And there will also be an impartation of power. And belief and power work side by side in your life to fulfill God's plan. And that's what he wants to bring into our lives today in a greater measure. So I want to say to you, when that time of response comes, don't hold back. Don't allow anything in your life to hold you back from receiving all that God has for you this day. So let's pray a prayer of faith first. And in this prayer of faith, we're going to do two things. We're going to relinquish all of those things that are of the earth, and we're going to embrace the things that are of heaven. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Just pray after me right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you've called me to yourself. And I pray that just like Peter, you will speak to me who I really am. I want to hear your words. And I ask you to forgive me for believing the lies of the enemy, for living in the limitations of this world. I believe that you are greater. I believe that your will for me never dies. And I believe that at any time, I can step into your will. I can pick up what you want me to receive. And so I give to you now all those lies I've been believing about myself, all the perceived limitations, all things in my past, all things in my present that I believe hold me back. I give them to you now. So do it right now by faith. Just speak them to the Lord. Just quietly right where you are. Hold them out to Jesus. Give them to him. Let him take them. Just speak it out now. And as you're speaking it, disarm those powers. For some of you, it's relationships. Give them to God. Don't allow the power of those negative relationships to hold you back. We can love those people, but they don't have to dictate our lives. So there's a difference. And what about your health today? Are you feeling in any way that you're limited by health issues? Give them to God today. Or your thoughts. Maybe some of you are struggling with depression. Give it to God. Whatever it is. A lack of money. That can't hold you back. Just release it right now. Release it by faith right now. Deal ruthlessly with these things. Don't be nice about the things of the enemy. You see, these are thieves. And God has come today to cut the chains first in your thoughts. So that today, right now, let's be the people who are standing up and we're going to say, I choose to believe God. That's right, what he says. So let's begin to receive now. Let's pray. Let's begin to receive. Just pray after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have destroyed these powers. There is no power on earth. There is no other person who can rob me of your sovereign plan. And I choose today to destroy the power of unbelief. And I choose to believe you have a plan for me. I want to receive it. Just begin to receive right now the words of the Lord. The words of the Lord. Holy Spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray for a release of truth. Two truths you need to believe. One is the truth of who you really are. The second is the truth that those false limitations can actually hold you back. You see, the second's a lie. So Holy Spirit, come. Ooh! Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Just let godly desire rise up in your heart right now. Godly desire that you want what he has for you. Remember, you're not too old to live the full life of Jesus. The full life. We've all missed things in our lives, but let's not miss any more. Let's live the fullness of what God has for us now. So Holy Spirit, come. Ooh, Holy Spirit, come. And so what I want to call you to do now, and there's not a lot of room up here, but I want to call you to respond. If you're hungry today, if you're dissatisfied, if you're tired of living in the lies,